Today's Shiur Masechta Chulin Daf Yud Ches. We will begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbaruch on Daf Yud Zayin. Amud Beis, four lines from the bottom. Amar Rav Huna Bar Rav Ketina, Amar Rav Shimon Ben Lakish, Shalish, Pegimas Heim. The Torah speaks about a Pegima, the Torah speaks about a Nick in something. And the Gemara says the Torah speaks about it in three different halachas. Pegimas Etzim B'Pesach. The halacha is that one may not break a bone of the current Pesach. If somebody were to make such a break in a Karan Pesach, he's over the Aveira of Etzim Le'Sishbur Boy, and Pegimus Ozen Bukhar. Torah tells us that when a firstborn male animal is born, it's Kodesh, we have to bring it as a carbon, and the meat is eaten by the Kohanim. However, if the animal has a mum, we still have to give it to the Kohen. However, it could just be slaughtered and eaten anywhere. And when we speak about identifying a mum, the halacha is that even if in the ear it has a slight crack, that's enough to make it into a bal mum. A begimus mum bekotchim. If one of the animal's organs has a pegimum, the halacha is that it's a bal mum. And we're not allowed to bring it as a carbon. We have to redeem it. And the halacha is that it's, and then this animal is no longer kodesh. Why do we have to speak about pegimus mum bekotchim if we just spoke about pegimus oizm bechor? So the Rishonim explain, because a bechor, as we know, only could be a male. A kotchim, under certain circumstances, can be a female as well. So we had to learn that this halacha is applicable both by male and females. Rav Chisda Ma'ab Pegimus Sakin, the Torah speaks about the Pegimus Sakin to teach us that the halacha is how much of the knife has a Pegimah that we discussed in our previous year were disqualified a knife. Virat Vidach, Astamar Rav Huna Bakadima, Bar Katina, who did not mention the halacha Pegimus Sakin, because the chulin like kamari, he's not speaking about chulin. He's only speaking about kotchin. So Sefer Tiferes Yaakov asks, what is the comparison when we're trying to speak about a knife that has a begima to the other begimas that have been listed? In the other situations that we're speaking, the issue is that they're missing something, and because they're missing, they consider Balmum or they considered Etzim Le'Sishbrubai. By knife, it's not because the knife is missing something. The issue is because such a knife cannot accomplish a proper Shrita. So that's why it's so different. And that's why it's understood why it's not mentioned together. Says the Tiferes Yaakov that from here we see that the halacha, that an animal that we just discussed, two examples, that has a mum, the issue of a mum is not because it's missing part of the animal. The issue of the mum is because it has this crack, and that crack makes it possible. The same thing by the broken bone of Karm Pesach. It's not because the Karm Pesach is missing anything. The issue is because it has this broken, because the bone is broken, the Torah was very strict. That we're not allowed to have a Karban Pesach. We're not allowed to have a Karban Pesach with a broken bone. So, on the contrary, this helps us suggest the Tiferes Yaakov understand the issue of something of a begima. That the issue of a begima is not that it's missing something; it's just that it's cracked. To which the Gemara said, "Bechulin loy kamayri." And of course, asterisk for why are we saying that this is halach that's only limited to chulin? This halacha that applies to kachim as well, because the halacha is that if kachim, that an animal that is slaughtered with a knife that's not a good knife, it's not good shchit for kachim. Says the Ritva, what the Gemara means to say is we're not speaking about subjects that apply both to kachim and to chulin. Yes, of course, there is an application to chulin, but since it's also applicable to kachim and chulin, it's not mentioned. The Chasam Sofer says that when somebody shechts, we know that the two simanim that have to be slaughtered, the kana and the veishit. Kana the wind pipe, the veishit is the food pipe. Says the Chasam Sofer that this halacha of these minor pegimus is really said by a bird, which is much more delicate. But there's never a case in the Beis HaMikdash, as we learned and will learn, that they shech the bird, because a bird in the Beis HaMikdash has malika. And therefore, perhaps the begima in the Beis HaMikdash, which is only for a knife, which was for animals, might have a different shear. The Kulan, what is the shear of the begima? Says the Gemara, Kedei Pegimus HaMizbeach. The halach is that the Mizbeach has to be whole, and here, if whatever would disqualify a Mizbeach, that type of a Pegima would disqualify the subjects that we discussed till now. So Tosfos asks, so Pegimus HaMizbeach, if the Mizbeach has a Pegima, everybody will agree that it's an issue. So why isn't that mentioned as one of the cases where a Pegima is an issue? So Tosfos answers, because that's an explicit pasuk in the Torah. And since it's an explicit pasuk in the Torah, it was not needed to be mentioned today by Reish Lakish. Another explanation that Ritva suggests, that everything that being mentioned in today's shir had to do with meat. The Mizbeach is not meat, but we're using that amount we're using the Mizbeach to help us to determine what is considered the shir. Continues the Gemara, v'kama hu pegimus hamizbeach. What indeed is the shear pegimus hamizbeach? Says Matei Shach b'Beit Zipporin. If somebody puts his fingernail over the mizbeach, he would feel it completely smooth. So Tosfos asks, how could that be the shear? Even if you have a cracked stone, and the halacha is the and you'll put your fingernail over it, you won't feel that there's a crack there. But yet the Torah says, Avarim Shloimus Tivnas Mizbech Hashem Elkecha. So how could that be used as the shear? Says Tosfos, what it means to say is that let's say you have a stone which is not exactly smooth. How much of a protrusion would disqualify that stone? And the Gemara says, Kedei Chagiris HaMizbeach. The Chasam Sofer, however, suggests that if a stone, this is Chasam Sofer, suggests that if you have a stone that was cracked always, then that might be okay for the Mizbeach. The question Tosfos asks is that it was so strict about what type of stones were allowed to be used for the Mizbeach, how is it possible to find a perfectly smooth stone? Particularly, since the Torah Kedosha says, L'sonof aleim barzel, that you're not allowed to use metal in any work for the Beis HaMikdash for the Mizbeach. And moreover, even though they had this special worm, the Shamir worm, so it says, it's not possible that it could smooth it that well. Says Tosfos that they used very small stones to build the Mizbeach that were there from Shesh Shmei Breshus that were perfectly smooth. The Rishonim also asked that in the end of our previous year, the Gemara identified a number of different methods on how to check a knife with the sun, with the water, with the hair, with the fingernail. So why did the Gemara today come up with these new shiurim? So because of this, the Ramban says, the Ramban and the Rabbah say, all of those different methods that were mentioned yesterday, that were mentioned in the previous shiur, the halacha is not just to really identify chigaris at Sipirim. It's not that they were being more machmer or giving a different shear. Those shiurim that we discussed and the way to determine if the knife is smooth is all based on what our Gemara just said, that the shir is Kedei Shetach B'Vay Tziporim. The Ran says that the halacha is that, as we just learned, the Chagiris HaTziporim is what would be an issue. But and the Ran says what they meant to do was, you want to make sure the knife is good. They were just discussing what is the best way of doing that. The Ritva, however, takes a different approach. His approach is that indeed, as we just learned in our Gemara, the Shiris Chigabaris at Tziporin. What those Amoraim that we learned had all those other methods, all those other methods were just mitzvah minamufchar. They wanted to be very, very careful to make sure the knife was absolutely perfect. So they did these different methods, but not that they're absolutely required. Meisvei asked the Gemara, it says in a Braisa, Kamach Kabiz Mizbeach, what's considered that the Mizbeach is not smooth? Rav Shim ben Yochai Oimer, Tefach, Rav Elazar ben Yaakov Oimer, Kazayis. So why did we just learn, ask the Gemara, that the Shir is Chagiris HaTzipayrin? Answers the Gemara Lakasha. Habasida, when we speak about the cement, the stones that were used for the base of the Mizbeach, there the shear, as we just learned, a kazayis or tefach. Haba avna, when we speak about the stones of the Mizbeach itself, there the shear is kedei chigaris etzeparim. As we've learned a number of times, the way they constructed the Mizbeach was that they brought a frame that was 32 amos by 32 amos, high in amah, and they brought stones that they poured on that, in that to fill up that entire area, and then they poured cement to smooth it out, and then they brought another base, which was 30 by 30 amos, the height of 5 amos, and that's what the Gemara refers to, where the Gemara says Sida. On the Sida, where the shear is a kazayis or a tefach. However, when we speak about the Mizbeach, the halacha is that that is much more exacting, and there the shear is going to be, as we just learned, says the Gemara, the shear of Chigaris HaTziporim. We learned here the halacha of something being completely, perfectly smooth, etc., and the halacha is that it could not be Chigaris HaTziporim. This is an interesting question regarding a lulav, for example. We know that the Ramah teaches us in Siman Tov Resh Mem Tes Sif Gemel, the L'chatchila, the mitzvah min amuvchar, noigen lita lulav, the minigs that take a lulav, shlei nechla ka'el ha'ala ayin klal, that the upper leaf is not split at all. Kiyesh machmirim afilu b'nechla ksas. And the Mishnah Berurah says, that the reason is because once it's open a little, there's a concern while we're doing the Nanuim, it will open up more. But the Taz discusses our Gemara, where our Gemara says that the Begimus Mizbeach is such a small shear. But then he says that our Gemara actually just said that the shear is a tefach or a kazayis. But the Mishnah Berurah does, and therefore, even a split that of a tefach will not disqualify the lulav. But the Mishnah Berurah quotes that Taz, but he says that the Chaya Adam says that we should be machmer even with a mashahu. Mishnah Berurah says if one could find such a lulav that isn't split at all, fantastic. If not, the halacha will be that you have up to a tefach. The Shulchan Aruch also tells us that the halacha is that there's a halacha l'moshe m'Sinai, that the tefillin, the backs of the tefillin, both the tefillin shel yad and tefillin shel rosh, have to be a perfect square. And then the question is, again, what is the definition of a perfect square? And the Bir halacha says that even if there's a small crack, even if there's a small imperfection, it wouldn't disqualify the tefillin, because in our Gemara we just learned that a small amount, and we don't even know if we should consider chigaris or tzipirin or tafach or kazayis, the halacha is that we could be, that's still considered smooth. So therefore, one has to not be overly strict when we speak about the tefillin either. Says the Gemara, Amar Rafuna hay tafcha de loisor sakina kamechachem. The shoichet, who does not bring his knife to the Talmud Chochem to check his knife, Mishamtinalei, we put him to Cheres. The Ritva makes a very important introduction to this Gemara. He says, the Gemara which we're about to learn, which is being so strict about showing the knife to Talmud Chochem before we use it for Shechita, was in a world where the Shoichet was the butcher. The Shoichet was the one who was selling the meat. And therefore, there has to be a method of making sure that nothing wrong happened here. But in a world where the butcher is not the shaykhut, we would never let that happen. And moreover, the Rishonim say, the Chachamim nowadays are not makbid that the knife should shecht. And moreover, they shecht like in a slaughterhouse. The halacha is the knife doesn't have, this rule and the strictness that's attached to this rule doesn't apply. Moreover, the halacha is that if the shoichet is a Talmud Chacham himself, then he doesn't have to show the knife to the Rav because he's an expert and he's a Talmud Chacham. Similarly, he says if the shoichet is a big expert, then also there's room for leniency. The Gemara said that we have to show the knife before we shecht it to the Talmud Chacham. So the Meiri, quoting Katzas Gainim, says we don't have to show the knife every time. It's adequate that as the week begins, we show the knife to the Rav, and as long as that knife is not used for any other purpose, then the halacha is you don't have to show the knife to the Rav. The Ritva suggests that if you're shechting birds and you show the knife to the Rav before you shecht the first bird, you may continue using the knife without showing it to the Rav. However, if you're going to switch from birds to animals, for example, so there once we're switching the type of thing that we're shechting, then the halach is we have to show the knife to the Rav before we start something else. Says the Rajba, but when Al Gemara says that you have to show the knife to the Rav, and if you don't show it to the Rav, says the Rajba, that this halacha is so serious that even if you violated this halacha even just one time, the halacha is that menad noisai, we put him at the cheirim. Rav Amar, Rav says if somebody doesn't show the knife to the Rav, ma'brinalei, we take him away from the job. We don't let him shecht again. So ask the Maremi Soda, of course he can't shecht anymore. He's in cheirim. We put him into menad noisai. An individual who's in cheirim obviously cannot be a shaychet. So he answers that the Gemara teaches us that cheirim is for 30 days. And here we're learning that even after the 30 days are over, Rav says we still do not let him go back to the shechita. Or machrizinan abisrei, and they announce about his meat, the treifa, that the meat is treifa. So the Afkas Reichel asks, why is the Gemara calling this meat treifa? If we're concerned that the knife wasn't good, and therefore the shechita wasn't good, then the halacha ought to be that it's an avela. So some suggest that the Gemara uses the word treifa, the Magen Mishnah says this, but really what the Gemara should have said is that this meat is a nevela. However, there are those that suggest this entire halacha that we're treating this knife in such, we're treating the shaychet in such a serious manner is only a knas midrabanan. And since there's only a knas midrabanan, so we're not going to allow to eat the meat, and we're going to call the meat treifa, but it will not be called a nevela. A nevela would be metama also. The loy pligi, if it says the Gemara, this is not really a machlaikus Rav Huna, who says that we put him at the cheirim, and Rav says we remove him from the job. Can kishinim tzitzukina yofa, if his knife was found to be good without any pigima, still, since he did not have the proper respect and did not show the knife to the Rav, we put him into cheirim. Can bishloi nimtza sakina yafa. However, if this knife wasn't good, so now it's a much more serious situation. And since now it's a much more serious situation, the halacha is that we have to be maverus of. Says Ritva, what the Gemara means to say is that two things. One is that not only will the meat that was slaughtered with this knife be considered non-kosher, but any meat that this shoychet shechted will be considered non-kosher. And moreover, he says that the shoychet, that if the knife is not here, let's say the meat was slaughtered, and the knife is not here, the halacha tells us that we have to be strict and treat that meat as if it's, we have to treat that meat as if it's non-kosher. We may not use that meat, we may not eat that meat if we can't definitively prove the kashrus of that meat. Continues the Gemara. Ravinama says the Gemara, Hecha de la nimtza sakina yafa. In a case where the meat is not, the knife is not good, besides like the paratop, what we should do is take any meat that was slaughtered with that meat. And what we should do is that we, besides like the paratop, we put on the waist of an animal to want, the purpose being that we shouldn't sell it even to the Nachri. And as I saw, the Ritva says, it's not that you have to do specifically what the Gemara just said, but the point is that the Chazal wanted to be so strict because we don't want that even a Nachri should have it. And there's two ways. One reason is that the Nachri, we don't want him to have any benefit from it. And the other reason is because we're concerned that the Nachri may sell it to a Jew. And the Jew is, and the Nachri is going to say, I got this meat from a Jewish shaychet. And then the Jew is going to come to eat it. To make sure that that doesn't happen, we have to do whatever is in our power to make sure to not, that this meat is not sold to anyone. Says the Gemara, who tafka de loisasa kinika made the rabbi bachinana. There was a shoychet who did not show his knife to the rav of the city, rabbi bachinana. And shamtei, he was put into cheirim. And abrei, and they removed him from his position of being a shoychet. The achras abisrei, and then they also announced that the besre the treifahu. The halacha is that his meat is considered treif meat. Iklu Mazut Rav Ashi Lagabei. Mazut Rav Ashi came to the home of Rabbi Bachinana. Amlu, Lina Rabbi Milsei. Rabbi Bachinana told them, I want you to check this person's situation. What he was trying to say was, maybe there's a way I could return him to his position. The Talibay Tafli, he has a family, his children depend on him. Batka Rav Ashi Lasekinei. So Rav Ashi checked his knife. Nimtzis Yofa Vachshrei. Since he saw the knife was nice, he said he could be a shaykhid again. Aren't you concerned about the covet of Rabbi Bachana, who is the Rav of the city, and this person acted disrespectfully by not showing him his knife? Rabbi Bachana asked asked us to check for into this person. Obviously, what Rav Bachinana himself was looking for a way that we could try to take him back. Dafkus Reuchel says, indeed, what is the halacha that we do of a person who has violated these halachas and we want to bring him back to be a shaychet? He says what he has to do is that he has to accept in front of three people that he will not shecht again until he shows the Talmud Chacham his knife. And if we're concerned that what he's saying is dishonest, then the halacha is we shouldn't take him back until we feel, as it seems that what the Gemara says now, until he we see that he's truly remorseful and will do so. Amar Rabbi Bar Rav Huna, Shein Talusha, if a tooth got detached from the mouth, it's a part of an animal or a person, v'tzibar talusha, or a detached fingernail, muta lishka b'lechatchila. Ask the Gemara, how could you say so for nantanan? Have we not learned in the Mishnah, chutz v'magal kotzva megeir v'shinayim v'tziparim, neshei chaykin, that you can't use any of these type of instruments to do a shechita? Answers the Gemara, shein hashen loy kasha, how do we reconcile the tooth? Havachada, one tooth may be used, havatati, but if you have two teeth together, you may not use it. And the reason that you may not use it is because there's a scap typically between the two teeth, and that's going to be like it has a pegima. Tziparnats, brown like kasha, havatlusha, if it's attached, if it's detached, you may use it. If it's attached, you may not use it. And the Rishonim point out that why did the Gemara say that same teretz on the Shein? So the Gemara says it's hard to assume that anybody would use a tooth that's attached to an animal or to a person for shechita. That means you would have to pick up the whole animal or the whole person to do a shechita. So there it's obvious that we were talking about something which was telusha, something that was detached. It says the Mishnah, Hashoikit b'magal katzer. If somebody used a sickle, but this sickle have small serration that are very close one to the other, all facing one direction. And he only moved the knife in one direction. And he didn't push it, didn't do a loch of ivar. He only moved it in one direction. Beshamay paislim. Beshamay says that the shechita is disqualified. Beisil machshirim. V'mhechlek ashinah. If he smoothed out the serration, then harei kusakin, then it's considered like a regular knife and may be used for shechita. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Chibar Abba, Amar Reb Yochanan. Av kishchir beis hillel. Even beis hillel said you can use such a knife lechshir elatar midei nevela. He only meant that if you're going to use that knife, the meat won't be considered nevela. Av bachila, one may not eat that knife. Rashi and Tosfos explain, because Chazal were concerned, as we just learned, you're only allowed to use that knife if you're moving the knife only one direction, not two directions. And Chazal were concerned that somebody may move it, which is the typical way of doing a shechita, halacha v'avah. So therefore, Chazal made a gzeira that we shouldn't use such a knife. However, that's only that we shouldn't eat the meat. The meat doesn't become a nevela that way, and that's why Beis Hillel will agree that that's not a nevela. Amar Vashi Dakinami, that the Mishnah's discussion is only about is the meat Torah Tamei. But everybody will agree that it may not be eaten. Because says the Tani, let's read the words in the Mishnah. If the halacha was that according to Beis Hillel we're allowed to eat the meat, then the words matarin and matamin are not the proper words. What should have been said was matirin and oisrim. It must be that Beis Hillel agrees that we're not allowed to eat the meat. Ask the Gemara, if that's the way you're learning, so l'tameich, that the entire discussion is about the tum and tahara of this meat. So ask the Gemara, listening, the way the Mishnah should have expressed itself was Beishamim Matam Beisil Matarim. Ela Paisim Machshirim, says Mar Oyser Matirim, all these different words are not all Chodim Milsa. But as the Rishonim point out, that even though the wording, the Gemara has proven that the wording of the Mishnah is not a compelling raya, the Gemara still feels that that's the halacha that Beis Hillel will agree that one should not eat this meat. Says the Gemara, so as we've learned, one of the acts that disqualify Shechita, we've discussed, is called Hagroma. Hagroma is where we take the knife outside from the proper place of doing the Shechita. And when we look at the Kana, we look at the windpipe. The windpipe has a number of rings. They're called tabos. And most of the rings don't encircle the entire windpipe. Only the tabas gedoyla, which is towards the head of that pipe, encircles the entire kana. So says the Mishnah, Hashach mitecha tabas, if somebody shechs through one of those rings that make up the kana, v'shaiba mola echot apnei kula, and the way he shechted is he didn't cut the entire thing, the halacha is the smallest amount, even as long as he cut through a tabas, and his knife did not go out from that kabas, even though it was very close to the end of the tabas, the halacha is shechitas ekshera, the shechita is kosher. Rabbi Yosef says that we don't have to have that the cutting was entirely within the rings. If you did most of the cutting within the tabas, and some of it was outside of the tabas, the loch is, the Rabbi Yosef Yehuda says that the loch is, that the shechit is kosher. Says the Marav Shmuel Dama Tavayu, halach Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, that if you'd shechted most of what's within that tabas, that will be enough that the shechit is kosher. Vavra says the Gemara, however, Vavra Rabbi Yosef Yehuda loy amel b'tabas gedoyla. Says the Gemara, what was Rabbi Yosef Yehuda speaking about? The big ring that we spoke about, which is towards the head of the kana. Hoyel makafis is called kana. Since, as we said, that ring encircles the entire kana. Abusha tabas, we speak about the other tabas, which never encircled the entire kana. Then loy, the shechit is not kosher, and there halach is whatever is there must be completely slaughtered. Ask the Gemara, is that indeed the opinion of Rabbi Yosef Yehuda? Rishat Abbas Loi. Is that indeed the opinion of Rabbi Yosef Yehuda? That by the other rings, you have to shecht whatever you're shechting completely within the ring. For Tanya, ask the Gemara, doesn't the Braisa teach us that Rabbi Yosef Yehuda Oimer Hashach Rishat Abbas, if somebody is shechting within one of the other rings, Av Bishayin Makifas is called a Kana, even if it's a ring that doesn't encircle the entire pipe, Hoyal Makifas is Roiva Kana. Since they do encircle most of the Kana, the loch is that is enough to make it a Kosher Shechita. And then the Braisa continues, Umegremes, if you cut most of the ring, you went outside of the ring, Psula, that the loch is that Shechita is going to be a disqualified Shechita. And then the Braisa says, he said that even if you went out of the ring, then the shechit is kosher. Amar Rabbi Yosi, says the Gemara, so Rabbi Yosi Yehuda Tatikama. Rabbi Yosi Yehuda said two halachas. One halach he said was that even if you cut most of the ring, once you cut most of the ring, and then you went out of the ring, it's okay. Because we applied a rule of Rubik Akula. And he also said that you could cut in one of the other rings, even though they are rings that do not completely encircle the kana. However, he says the Gemara, Rav Shmuel Sarika Vasei Bechada may agree with him that if you shechted most of the Tabas Hagdoila, and then you went out, it's fine. Because they don't agree what he said, that he said you could shecht in one of the other rings, and they hold that you cannot shecht. They hold that you cannot shecht in one of the other rings. Says Marvaloy Amar Kamri. But as the Gemara, didn't we say that Rabbi Yosef Yehuda, that they're coming to explain Rabbi Yosef Yehuda's opinion? The way we're learning now, he's not explaining Rabbi Yosef's opinion. Hakama. Halakamaisa, what they meant to say is Rabbi Yosef Yehuda should be understood the way we just understood. But even though Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda should be understood the way we just understood, Halach Kamais with Tabaska Dailab, they agree with him when he says the Halach regarding Tabaska Dailab, then Halach Kamais with Shah Tabas, when he's lenient in allowing the Shkit to be done, but the other Tabas, that they're not ready to accept. Says the Gemara, Kisolak Rab Zera, when Rab Zera came from Bavot HaTisrael, Ochel Mugremes to Rav Shmuel, he ate something that was considered Mugremes according to Rav and Shmuel. Amalei, so the people in Eretz Yisrael asked them, La me'asad rish Rav Shmuelat, don't you come from the place where Rav and Shmuel are the Rabbanon? And why don't you follow their opinion? Amalei, man Amra, so they said, who said that locha about Rav and Shmuel? It was Yosef Bechia. It was Rabbi Yosef Bechia who reported what they said. Yosef Bechum Mekolam Goyma, he wasn't necessarily careful and repeating what Rav and Shmuel really held. Says the Gemara, Shom Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef said, heard what was going on, that people were attributing that he wasn't accurate in his reporting of the halacha. I got mixed up because I learned from so many Rabbonim. Anam Rav Yehuda Gamirna, the filoseke de Gavri Gorim. He was so careful to say over exactly who said what and what name, everything. He was so careful when he didn't know exactly who reported a certain halacha, he said so. And he said, Shlosh Matirnas Bachar, you need three regular individuals. We know, we spoke earlier in our shir, if a Bachar forms a mum, it doesn't have all of the din of a Bachar, it doesn't have to be brought as a Bacharban. So there were Rabbanim who are experts in determining if this is a mum. But let's say there is no Rav who's an expert to determine if it's a mum. You could take any three people, but Mokum Shein Mumcha. And he was careful to say this with the greatest detail. Rav Zera says the Gemara, even if he hold that Rav and Shmuel didn't pass in this way, didn't he hold that obviously where he came from, they were makbid not to shecht in any of the other rings. And shouldn't he be following the halacha that the Gemara teaches us, Masechet Pesachim, Daf Nun Amud Aleph, halacha, haloilich memokim, shos malacha b'erev Pesach. If you go from a place, you leave a place where they do malacha b'erev Pesach, lemokim shein oisim, to a place where they don't, or vice versa. Nois lechumre emokim shiyotz misham, v'chumre emokim shalach l'sham. We give this person has to follow the chumres of both where he left and where he came. So even if it was or wasn't reported so accurately, but since in Bavel nobody ate such meat, how are you allowed to eat such meat? Says the Gemara, Omam Abaya, Hanimili, when does the Salach apply if you go Bavel to Bavel from one city in Bavel to another city in Bavel? Or Me'etz Yisrael, Eretz Yisrael, from one city in Eretz Yisrael to another city in Eretz Yisrael. Inami Me'etz Yisrael to Bavel, you go from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel. Avel, be bavel at Yisrael. If somebody travels from Bavel to Yisrael, kinan da anan kafino lehu, we are secondary to Yisrael. Avdina kavasei. Why are we secondary to Yisrael? Because kiddush hashana, ibra hashana, knosis, all these halacha were only done in Yisrael. There was only smicha done in Yisrael. At smicha is the foundation of the halacha of Hefker Bezdin Hefker, and therefore they certainly only followed he could do what they do in Eretz Yisrael. Rashi says a different answer. Afilo teimim bavel Eretz Yisrael. Even if somebody goes from bavel to Eretz Yisrael, hani mili, does he have to keep his old minhagim? That's hani mili hechdadat alachzer when he intends to go back to where he came from. Rav Zera ain't that the lachzer. He had no intention of going back to Bavel, And therefore, now he follows the Menhagim of Eretz Yisrael. Says the Gemara, Amalei Abayler, Rabbi Yosef, V'rabbanan dosim m'chuzo, Amri, Amr Rav Zeir M'shmed, Rav Nachman, B'gremes K'shera. Why don't they paskin like Rav and Shmuel? Amalei, to which he responded, Nahara, Nahara, Pashtei. Every river travels in its own direction. And there are different, ways of reporting what they held. And Nahara, Nahara, Pashtei, everybody had their own version of what was said. Our Gemara has taught us the halacha of keeping menhagim. And there are many questions that need to be discussed about keeping menhagim. Ramosh in the Shal Chuvas Igris Moshe, Chelek Aleph, Simen Kuf Nan Ches, that speaks about a common situation where you have a couple that got married and the husband and wife come from families that have different menhagim. Ramosh says that the proper thing is that one should follow, a wife should always follow the menhagim of her husband. And this is no different. Once a woman gets married to her husband, so it's just like what our Gemara just said. You're tending, obviously, we hope and we pray that this marriage will be forever. And since we're hoping and praying that this marriage will be forever, so it's like they moved, somebody moved to that place permanently, that the Gemara just said we follow that, those menhagim. Ramosha also has a tshuva in Orachaim Chelik Dal Simen Kuf Hei regarding putting on tefillin and Chol Hamoed in Eretz Yisrael. He says that the original people who came to live in Eretz Yisrael were the Talmidei Hagra and the Sfardim and the Talmidei HaBaal Shem. All those are people that were had the minig that didn't wear tefillin and Chol Hamoed, and therefore the halacha is that one should be, doesn't have to wear tefillin if he's living in Eretz Yisrael, even if his minig is to wear tefillin. But then Rav Moshe says that in all these types of situation, it becomes a little complicated because we no longer live in a world of a kehillah, of a community with a set minig, because our world is a world of kibbutz goliyos. And since it's a world of kibbutz goliyos, we have people from all over. And when we have people from all over, everybody is still following their own minig. And that's why, even if you have in one city people who have different menhagim, the halacha will be that there's no issue of lois gadadu. And actually, our Gemara is a raya to that concept, because our Gemara just said, Nahara, Nahara, Upashtei. Everybody should follow their own minig. But Rav Moshe also says that it's very important when we view this Gemara, we should remember that everybody should follow their own minig. And that's why Rav Moshe, the Shalat Shuv Sigus Moshe, Archaim Chel Gimel Simen Hei, discusses Havara, with which way you should pronounce your davening. And Rav Moshe wants to suggest that people who have Havara, like the Ashkenazim, should continue davening like that with that Havara. And people have a minig like the Sfardim should continue with that minig. Says the Gemara, Rav Shimon ben Lakish or Achshe b'chuda dekuva. Somebody, we spoke about the Kana, we spoke about the rings at the Kana, and on the top of the Kana, it looks like a helmet. So says the Gemara, Rav Shimon ben Lakish said that even if you cut that area, that's also considered a valid shechita. And says the Gemara, Kalei Rav Yochanan Gisa Gisa. He says, you meant too far, meaning that so far along the Kana, that is too far to Shecht. Another pshat that the Ritva suggests is that we know Rish Lakish was a brother-in-law of Rabbi Yochanan, and Rish Lakish said to his brother-in-law, my brother-in-law, I think you're being too lenient. Amar Pav Mishmei the Rava, Paga Bechitim, they're like two small pieces of meat that look like beans, and they're put towards the top of the Kana by that kaiva, by that helmet. If somebody touched that, and the Gemara is going to discuss what that means, trefa, that would make the animal a trefa. And as we said, we're going to discuss in much what that actually means.